Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass from Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our executive producer of the show. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Brad's not with us. Brad is on vacation this week with his family. So Lee and I are going to be guiding the ship, so to speak, today. We have a little different broadcast in that we're going to be doing the segment from Atlanta first and then moving to Dallas, Texas to Kevin Ritz. Joining me today in the studio is Joe Blumberg. Joe is the Executive Director for Men's Health and Wellness Center in Atlanta. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's more than great having you here today. As we begin, let me kind of lay the groundwork. I've known Joe for probably at least 2 years, and we have a common denominator in that we're both survivors of prostate cancer. So I wanted to bring Joe onto the show. He has a special event that is coming up this weekend. But before we go there, Joe, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and tell us about Men's Health and Wellness Center.
Well, I guess I'm one of the snowbirds. I was born and raised up north, and 28 years ago came down to the Atlanta area to have my own business in the market research area. My company was called Specifics Incorporated, and we were doing market research in information technology and healthcare markets. What that really means is we were taking a look at customer bases, we were looking at pricing models, promotional pieces, literally the five P's of marketing and helping companies make decisions about their markets, their products, their employees, et cetera. But we were giving them honest data to deal with rather than the hypothetical information right. that many companies make decisions with.
And how did that transcribe into men's health and wellness? Go down that route for us.
Well, because we were in the healthcare markets, I've always had an interest in healthcare and even have family members who are involved in the healthcare arena. I have one son who runs the largest epidemiology study in the country for women's and children's health. And another who is a physician, a dermatologist up in the western Massachusetts area. And when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer back at the end of 2006 and had my prostate removed actually, you never forget the dates, but it's January 22nd, 2007.
You're better than I, because I've forgotten mine. I don't want to remember.
Well, you know, it's one of those milestone events, and the physician who was responsible for doing that surgery knew of my background, and at the same time, I became quite familiar with him and his background. One of the interesting small world coincidences was that he graduated from the Henry Ford Hospital. It's called the Vaticudi Urological Center up in Michigan, and that's not the most common name. It's a somewhat common name, I guess, in Indian culture, but there was a gentleman up there whose name was Raj Vaticudi, who had a company called Covansis that I helped, and he was a client of mine for some 20 years. And as a result of that, I asked Raj whether this was a good surgeon. He told me he was the best in the world. Nikhil went and asked Raj if I was competent, and he said I was one of the better organizations to work with. And the marriage was made. He asked me if I would be willing to help him start a men's center focused on health of men as they age. And I said, it sounds like a calling. So here I am.
All right. Couple of questions. First of all, who's the doctor that you're speaking of? You're allowed to give names on this show.
Dr. Nikhil Shah.
And where does Dr. Shah practice?
He's with the Urological Specialists of Atlanta, which operates out of St. Joseph's Hospital here.
So Dr. Shah asked you to sit with him and help him devise a program as it relates to men's health. Tell us about that.
He had focused originally, tried to get this started in Michigan when he was there, and what they wound up doing after it was approved is they created an executive spa on the 12th floor of the Hilton Hotel, where they brought in executives, massaged them for 7 days, gave them a silk robe, and sent them on their way. It wasn't the kind of program he was interested in. He was really focused on making sure that men were educated, men engaged the medical community more, and men made lifestyle choices that were there to promote health, to aid in their healing process, or to improve their quality of life when, in fact, they had conditions which were chronic conditions or conditions that needed to be managed as they age. And that has been the focus of the Men's Health and Wellness Center. We've created an exhaustive website. It is probably one of the most comprehensive gender-specific websites to men's health conditions that exists right now on the Internet. And we also publish a newsletter, which is the focus of approximately right now 6,000 men who receive this as an opt-in arrangement, who have let us know they want to get this on a regular basis. And we have a series of programs that are there to help promote and in one case and or in multiple cases here defeat prostate cancer, in addition to dealing with the other problems of an aging population and a male population that's typically stoic and doesn't engage with the medical community the way women do.
Let's explore that a little bit. There are me having an acute medical background. There is just a multitude of programs for women, for children, but there is very few, it seems, for men. And you touched upon that with your last statement. Can you expand and tell us why is it that programs for men's health are so lacking? Why do we have that attitude?
Well, I think one of the contributing factors is the fact that men are wired differently. It always astounds me that men will not talk to their best friend when they have a medical issue or a condition, yet a woman will talk to a perfect stranger about it. And, you know, we tend to hide these things. We're not very vocal. We treat the medical community as though it were a repair shop. In other words, we go to fix something that's broken. Women teach their daughters to engage the medical community early, because they know that there are the childbearing years and their daughters have to be educated and aware of what is available to them and how to access that community of resources so that these women can become grandmothers. And that's what it's all about. Yet, if there's men walking around and I ask a man if he has ever talked to his son about how to do a self-testicular examination, they look at me like I've got three heads. Are you nuts? Why would I do something like that? But that's typical of where we are and where we've come. You know, there's a national, within the CDC, there's a National Office of Women's and Children's Health. Mm-hmm. There isn't even an administrator in the CDC who's responsible for men's health. The public health officials from around the country extol what my son has done in creating this database of information around women's and children's health. It's probably the most exhaustive, most complete resource to really touch on all of the potential problems and conditions associated with women and children. And yet, when I ask these public health officials what's available on men's health, I get blank stares, because there has not been a concerted effort in that arena. Men have to become more conversant. They have to stop hiding the fact that they have illnesses and that these illnesses can be debilitating as they age. They have to talk about it. They have to become engaged. And, when women are asked to mobilize around issues like breast cancer, millions show up. Yeah. When men are asked to mobilize around issues of prostate cancer, one or two people show up to find out who else is there.
And all you have to do is look at the little pink ribbons that are throughout this country, the basketball teams that are supporting that effort, and yet you don't see it on the male side.
You certainly don't. Typically, you can call Delta Airlines and you ask Delta Airlines, you have a pink airplane. Why don't you have a blue airplane? The answer is really nobody's ever asked.
Right, right.
Well, now we're beginning to ask. We're beginning to want to see blue buildings. We want to see men wearing blue ribbons. We want to see a blue airplane flying. We're trying to raise the awareness level of people to understand that men's health and prostate cancer in very specifically is something that needs to be dealt with. Right now the government is considering the possibility of reducing their funding for prostate cancer research. Yet in the last 10 years, when they've been focused on it because of prostate cancer being so pervasive with Vietnam veterans, that's when most of the major advances have come to pass. But yet it is still a disease that men die from. It's the second most common cancer as a death threat to men. People talk about prostate cancer as being a slow-growing disease. Not true. For a number of us, for 15% of us, it is an aggressive disease. And it's when that aggressive disease takes over that we die from prostate cancer. And, right now we're doing, for some of us, we're doing our best to manage that particular process. But it's an uphill battle. We need the funding. We need to be able to get men involved to say, hey, don't stop it. Keep it going, because we need it to be there.
Let's try to tie this to the theme of this show, Eugeria, Joe. Talk about the numbers, the percentage of men who are diagnosed with some form of prostate cancer. And also about the age group that it is prevalent in.
One in six men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. And if you overlay the charts, you can look at the breast cancer charts and the prostate cancer charts, and it's really hard to distinguish one from the other. 30,000 men will die this year from prostate cancer. And, I already gave the 15% number of aggressive disease. We are recommending that men begin to get prostate cancer screening at the age of 40. Now, if you've got family history or if you've got symptoms, often if you have symptoms, you're really too late to the game. But with a family history, or if you're a minority, the African-American population, the Hispanic population, et cetera, should probably start getting screened at the age of 30 because of the fact that they have a 25% higher propensity for coming down with prostate cancer.
Okay. Do you have any information as to why? Why is the propensity higher in the minorities?
We have no idea. It just happens to be a fact. And if you notice, I've said 40 and 30. I'm being much more aggressive than the American Cancer Society. They'd like to see the rates go up. In other words, they'd like to see men start getting screened, if at all, once they're older. The rate that has been around for a while is 50 degrees for Caucasian males. I'm sorry, 50 years of age for Caucasian males, 40 years of age for African-American males. But we are starting to see more occurrence of prostate cancer in younger and younger men. And consequently, I'm saying, hey, you don't have to necessarily get an annual screening, but by gosh, you ought to know what your baseline is. Because once you know your baseline, then if you do get another test in 2 or 3 or 4 years or however that number of years goes, I mean, up until you're maybe 40 or 50, and it moves significantly in a positive direction, then you know you can deal with it. You don't get that first test in your mid-40s, know that it's less than 4, and believe that you're okay just because it's less than that hypothetical 4.0 that everybody talks about for a PSA test.
I'm sorry, and you just spoke. You just spoke to me. You unknowingly, you probably just described my situation. I was, I gotta get my dates at least close here. I was 53, and never had a PSA. Went in for the physical, and the PSA came back elevated. They didn't know, because I'd never had a baseline done prior to that, didn't know whether it was normal or whether there was reason for concern. You just spoke to that. The baseline is absolutely important.
Right. And two of the things you really should have a baseline on is every man should have a baseline on his PSA level and his testosterone level. Those are extremely important, because if you don't... So many men are now suffering from low testosterone. They don't understand that once you reach the age 40, you lose 1% of your testosterone each year. And all of a sudden, there is that male menopause. There are those symptoms that look like menopause, which are strictly the effect of low testosterone. So that's another issue you have to be aware of. Now, of course, you need to know what your blood pressure is. You need to know what your cholesterol levels are. You need to know your blood glucose levels. And if you're a guy, you absolutely have to know what your partner's birthday is and what your anniversary is. These are extremely important numbers.
I'm poor. I don't think I know any of them.
Now, Joe, can you talk about some of the things that your organization is doing to educate the men about these issues?
Certainly. First of all, you know, we have the website and we have the newsletter, which are sources for men to get information specifically related to them. But we have two major events that occur each year. One of them is our Health Expo, which we do once a year. Last weekend was actually the weekend of our expo. We screened over 200 men and loved ones, and we screen them on 8 potential areas of medical health that they need to be aware of. And I don't have the final numbers back, but somewhere between 30 and 40% of the men who went through that, we discovered remarkable conditions that need additional medical attention. We do our Dash for Dad, which is coming up this weekend on Saturday. This is one of 27 races across the country that is there for the defeat of prostate cancer. We do this in concert with the Zero organization. Zero is the national program to defeat prostate cancer. And this race here in Atlanta, as I said, is one of 27 across the country. And we're expecting somewhere, well, I'm guessing 600 to 800 people for this race. It may be more. We never know what's going to turn out the race day.
Here in Atlanta.
Right here in Atlanta. The race is here in Sandy Springs, and it's a 5K course. We invite women and children. We have people who always run in celebration of people, their family members who have had prostate cancer, and also in memory of loved ones who have passed away from prostate cancer. It's our equivalent to what Susan G. Komen is, but where Susan G. Komen gets thousands of people to come out, we struggle to get 1,000 to 2,000, and that's where we're headed. The event grows. It's grown substantially this year over last year, and so we're pretty excited about what's coming down the pike, and we hope that everybody will turn out and be part of this.
For our listening audience, if there are those individuals that want to run at this late date, how can they sign up and be involved?
Well, they can go to active.com on the Internet. They can go to our website, which is menshealthandwellness.org. You have to spell it out. And where it says click here to register for the race, That's where you click to do it with a credit card. You can actually show up race day. We always have Atlanta's one of those running communities that turns out on race day, and we have quite a few people who are expecting to show up at the Home Depot on Peachtree Dunwoody Road. And we bring your credit card, bring a check, bring cash. We take any one of those. It's $25 for adults, children under 12. It's a $5 discount. There's going to be a load of exhibitors. We have some great coupons. The kids, after the race, can go into Home Depot and make a gift for Dad. There's going to be a special workshop that's part of Home Depot. Plus, as a sponsor, they're giving all of our race participants an additional 10% off their low prices already, or even sale items on anything purchased, as gifts for Father's Day.
That's great. One more time, give our listening audience the pertinent information: time, place, cost of the race.
The race starts at 8. The registration begins at 7 a.m. We'll have earlier people there, of course, but that's at the Home Depot, 6400 Peachtree Dunwoody Road, right here in Sandy Springs. It's a 5K race that goes around the Sandy Springs area. It's not a terribly difficult course. Really does cater to families who want to come out and participate. And it's $25 for adults, and children under 12 get to do it for $20. And again, this is a fundraiser to raise funds locally for support groups and for screening, for prostate cancer screening here in the Atlanta area. There is a portion of the funds that does go into the research coffers for national programs that are supporting prostate cancer research at NIH and other organizations. But like I said, this is a major league event. We're trying to get to the point where Susan G. Komen was 5 years ago.
We certainly, from my side of the table, I certainly would like to see just a fraction of that interest generated. We certainly appreciate all your efforts and the information. Joe, for the audience, if there is a piece of advice you might give a 40 or maybe an early 50-year-old when it comes to his health and wellness, what one piece of advice might you give them?
I think the single biggest piece of advice that I give every man that I talk to is to eat healthier and exercise more frequently. The obesity issue is killing men in Georgia, and Georgia is one of the primary areas where the rate of disease, the rate of obesity, exceeds the national average significantly. While some people think we're a health-minded and running community, in a lot of ways we are, but the diet of Georgians typically just packs on the pounds, and we've got to be doing a better job. As men, we have to do a better job controlling our weight, eating right, and exercising more.
That's great. We certainly appreciate it. How could individuals get a hold of you or contact the Men's Health and Wellness Center if they'd like to do that?
Well, certainly by going to info@menshealthandwellness.org, which is on our website. We can have all kinds of messages come in through the website. And our phone number is 678-638-6388. So that anybody wants to dial that, they can reach me directly.
Great information, Joe. Obviously something that is dear to my heart. Would love to have you back on the show again. We certainly appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. The second part of our show is going to originate from Dallas, Texas, with Kevin Ritz. Kevin has two unique guests, both of which have been the Rainey Miss Texas Senior America. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to you, Kevin. Good morning.
Thank you, Sam. I am with Mary Frances Hansen, who is the director and pageant coordinator of Miss Texas Senior America, and Pat Housel, who is the pageant production coordinator. Ladies, I appreciate you both taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with you, Mary Frances, and have you just kind of introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from originally and how you came to Dallas and in your current position with the pageant.
Okay, I'm Mary Frances Hansen, and I'm originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I came to Dallas like about 35 years ago. My husband was a Texan, a real Texan, and I became a widow at a young age of, I think, around in my late 50s, and so then I wanted to travel. And I didn't have anybody to travel with me. And I got this wild idea that I would maybe go to work on a cruise ship. So I sent my resume off. And Princess Cruises notified me about 2 weeks later and asked me if I would come to Los Angeles for an interview, which I did. So I worked part-time for Princess Cruises for 7.5 years. And I met my husband that I'm married to now, Richard Berry, who's a headline entertainer on the cruise ships. But my background is I am a professional nurse, and I worked in an ICU unit for quite a while, well, for about 7 years. And I wanted to do something different. Well, when I reached the age of 60, I saw this ad in the paper that was talking about the Miss Texas Senior America pageant. And I thought, oh, that might be fun to enter. I just turned 60 years old. The only thing is you're judged on interview, your evening gown for poise, and you're judged on your philosophy of life, and you have to have a talent. And I'm thinking, oh, talent, what am I going to do? Well, I don't sing, I don't dance, but I love to talk. So I thought, okay, I'll just do a motivational speech, which I did, and I did it on attitude, never in my wildest thinking that I would win, but I did. And at that time, I had been working with the Dallas chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. I'm a professional volunteer, have been for over 25 years. When I quit nursing, I went into strictly volunteer work. I worked with them for 13 years, and I held every position there that you could hold as a volunteer. I was their volunteer coordinator for 2 years, and I was also the chairperson of their speakers bureau, and we went out and educated people about Alzheimer's because my mother had Alzheimer's disease, so I'm well aware of Alzheimer's. Well, anyway, I thought if I were to win this, it would open a door, it would be my platform, and I would be able to talk about Alzheimer's disease as well as the pageant. Well, not only did I win Miss Texas Senior America that year, I won Miss Congeniality, and I also won the Community Service Award. And then, I've got so many stories to tell, but how I got involved in the pageant was, we were without a director for, our director retired. We were without a director for a couple of years, and I stepped in as the interim director. And then in 2005, we rebirthed the Miss Texas Senior America pageant. So I have been the director since then.
Okay. Pat, what about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Iowa, from the Midwest. I grew up there, and then my mom married an Army man, so I went to high school in Germany. And then after I graduated, and I was a freshman in college in New York, he moved, was stationed at Fort Hood. That brought us to Texas. So when I came home at Christmas, for Christmas break, I worked as a car hop at the Dairy Grill. I don't think it's there anymore. And this soldier came in. He was kind of cute. And he eventually got me to go out with him. I told him he had to ask my dad. That was my line. But then I went back to college, kept in touch with him, came home in the summer, and we got married that fall and went to California. But my parents retired from the military and came to Dallas. Mom said she was never going back to Iowa. And my family was very small and very close. So we came back to Dallas And we've lived here for 46 years, I guess, and we raised our kids here. And so that's how I got to Texas. Now, I worked as a professional project manager most of those years for Bank of America, Republic Bank, whatever it was. It ended up as Bank of America when I retired. And in 2006, I was still working, but I had a friend. I also dance in the Dallas Tap Dazzlers, and that keeps me very, very active. But one of the ladies there, Marge Bufkin, is Miss Texas Senior America 2000. And I really admired and thought greatly of Marge, but I thought, I've never done anything like that. I can do that. And so I entered the pageant in 2006 and was honored to win. I danced. I'm a dancer. I've always danced, and I love to dance, so I did that. And continued working and had my reign, and then they asked me to join the board. So I did, and saw where my project management skills were needed, and offered my skills. In the last 3 years, I guess, I've worked as the production coordinator of the pageant, which keeps me really busy, and I love doing that. And I get to meet the new ladies every year, the contestants, and we just have a good time. And I admire Mary Frances and all the wonderful ladies I've met through the pageant. It's given me a whole new life, new things, new interests, new places to go and things to see.
Well, great. Mary Frances, can you tell us what exactly the pageant is, what it's about, what its mission is, and kind of what the format and all that entails?
Yes. First of all, our pageant is an event for women 60 plus. And our pageant salutes all senior women, and our goal is to enrich and empower the lives of all seniors. We promote the senior woman in all of her glory, and our pageant champions healthy aging, wellness, and mental well-being. We try to keep our seniors healthy, active, and alive. And we are the positive image. We represent the positive image of aging. In fact, we are redefining the senior woman. And our pageant is, this year we have 25 contestants vying for the title of Miss Texas Senior America. And then our queen will go to our national pageant, the Miss Senior America. And we'll represent Texas there. And the pageant, like I said, the ladies are judged on interview, evening gown, philosophy of life, and their talent. And I'm telling you, these ladies are absolutely incredible. When if you were to see their talents, Kevin, you would not believe it. Just because you reach a certain age doesn't mean that your talents have diminished. In fact, they flourish. And these women are incredible. In fact, I just get so excited, I can't stand it. And I know Pat will agree with me. When you see them up there, you got to come to our pageant to see what we're talking about. And you'll get as excited as we are.
What are some of the talents that the seniors put on display?
Pat, why don't you talk about some of our talents.
Well, this year we have singers and dancers of all types and variety. We have a pianist who also sings. We have a former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader who's going to do a palm routine. We have a drummer from Alvin, Texas.
Yes.
We have ladies coming in from all over the state. So every year we're very, very excited about who's going to be in the pageant and their talents, because we only know on paper what they do. We don't know until they actually start doing it how totally wonderful they are, and it's just great fun, and we put on a really good show. And this year it's going to be August 13th at the Doubletree Hotel
at 4099 Valley View. It's at the corner of Midway and 635 in Dallas at the Doubletree Hotel. Our pageant starts at 1 o'clock. But we encourage people to come out early, because we have about 21 exhibit booths with all kinds of information. We also have prizes, door prizes, that we encourage people to register. And we're also going to have a grand prize this year. We're so excited about this. So it's quite an event. So we encourage people to come early, like about 10:30 or 11, to come and visit all of the exhibitors, and then our doors open at 12 o'clock.
Okay. You've been doing this for a long time, and you know your life was obviously affected by it. And do you have any stories of other people who you saw a change? You know, maybe they were a little apprehensive about participating, and it was just a great transformation for them to participate?
Yes, in fact, you know what? My motivation as director of this pageant is, how can we make a difference in someone's life, in these ladies' lives? And I get the most wonderful emails from these ladies or telephone calls telling me that they had, like with Pat, it changes your life. This is not a beauty pageant. In fact, it's a pageant of, it's inner beauty. And these women come from all walks of life, and they all have a story to tell. And these women are just incredible. But these women will write to me, and they'll say, Mary Frances, thank you for allowing me to enter the pageant. It has changed my life. It has made such a difference, because it gives these ladies, it gives them confidence in themselves. You realize that they've been a mother, they've raised children, they've worked out in the workplace, they've been busy doing for everybody else. Now it's their time to do for themselves. And that's what this is all about. And I can't tell you the ladies, in fact, we just had the most fantastic tea for them this past Sunday. And they, most of them wore hats, and we just had the greatest time. And I had each contestant get up, say their name, where they were from, and a little bit about themselves. You would not, and I think Pat will attest to this, is that some of the contestants, they love our pageant so much, they've been in it for, you know, two or three times. And when they first started, they were real shy. They didn't know what to do. You would not believe how they've come alive, what this has done for them in their lives. And they come back because they call it their pageantry family. And some of them, and it really is, it's their pageant sisters, their pageant family. And, you know, they'd like to come back every year if we'd let them.
Yeah. This sounds like a great program. Do you find that a lot of the senior livings, do they make this an activity and bring their residents out?
Yes. In fact, we do that. In fact, we have, this is so wonderful, we have several of the senior communities, like the Legacy at Willow Bend, they hosted our contestant tea for us. The Tradition Senior Living hosted our workshop for us. And Highland Springs Community, they host our Miss Texas Senior America Board every month. And you know what? They don't really want us going anyplace else. They'd love to have us. You know, and another thing, and I want Pat to tell you about our Cameo Club, because this is our service club, and this is what's so important. So, Pat, tell them about our Cameo Club.
Well, our Cameo Club supports the pageant, and we also have a group of past contestants and winners who go out into the community, go to the senior community, you know, not necessarily, but a lot of times we go to the senior communities, and we put on showcases, we call them. They're actually variety shows. We then take our talents that we have nurtured, and we do a showcase for the residents there, and we have some of the places that ask to come back again and again and again. And you know, we become friends with the audience. We have a wonderful time. The audiences have a great time. And in doing that, we get to know our sister contestants better. And we just have a grand old time. We love doing it. We haul all of our speakers and our sound systems, and we go out and we perform and get to know the audiences and their families. And actually, we have a lady in the pageant this year. We performed where her mother was living, and her mother went to her daughter and said, "You need to be in this pageant." And she is this year. And she's going to be one of our jazz dancers.
All right. Now, you were talking about the tap group.
I'm with the Dallas Tap Dazzlers.
And that's different than the other group, the Cameo group?
Yeah, absolutely. The Dallas Tap Dazzlers is independent from the pageant. The Dallas Tap Dazzlers will be performing one number at the pageant this year. And we often have members of our organization as contestants. We have for the last 3 or 4 years at least, and then my mentor, Marge Bufkin, who was Miss Senior Texas 2000, is also a member of the Dallas Tap Dazzlers.
So the Dallas Tap Dazzlers is a group of seniors.
Is a group of senior ladies.
Okay.
45 and no upper limit.
Okay.
And we perform in the community as well, and we have performed all over the country.
And how long has it been around?
20-plus years now. Founded by Frances Dempsey, our director.
Okay.
And I've been dancing with them, gracious, 15 years. And just love that.
Okay.
You know, it's a great opportunity, and, you know, it allows us to... I have always loved the stage, loved to be on that stage. My daughter accuses me of... Pat, or Mom, the only reason you do this is because you like to dress up in all that glitter and those sequins and those, you know, that fringe and what. I just, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
And there's something wrong with that.
Right. We were talking earlier and you mentioned that you had a good piece of advice for seniors and senior women. What was that advice you wanted to give?
For seniors in general.
Okay.
Just get up out of the chair and do it. Whatever you want to do, whatever makes you exciting. When we close our Cameo Club presentations, when we go out and do our showcases, we call them, we like to close our show with, we've incorporated a kind of a line dance sort of thing that we teach the residents. We sing and we do this little dance where we try to get them up and dance and do this with us. And we encourage them, if you can't get up, sit in your chair, do it. And the last time we did it, we had a lady with her walker stand up with that walker and danced with us. And she had the best. We all did. But get up, do what you love. Don't ever give up your dreams. You know, I always wanted to be a dancer in all those years that I worked and raised kids and all those things. You know, it was kind of put on the back burner. Now I get to dance as many times as I want. I get to do all this stuff I love. I feel so good about myself and have so much fun doing the whole thing. But for anyone, the kids growing up, they have dreams. They have dreams. They have the things they want to do. Don't ever, ever forget those dreams. If you can't do them right now, maybe later. But don't ever lose sight of that dream. Don't ever let it float away.
Kevin, can I say one more thing? And that is, regardless of what age you are, keep a purpose in your life and keep setting goals for yourself. And remember, age is only a number and ours is not listed.
That's very good.
You like that?
That's great. Could you give us the dates for the pageant again and all the details?
Yes, it's Saturday, August the 13th at the Doubletree Hotel located at Midway and 635. The physical address is 4099 Valley View in Dallas, Texas. The tickets are $10. We encourage all the people to come early to visit our exhibit booths. Oh, and there's parking, lots of parking in the back of the hotel, not just in the front, but I want to remind everybody there's a lot of parking in the back. And I promise you, you will love this show, and if you don't like it, we'll give you your money back because you're going to fall in love with all these beautiful, wonderful, talented senior women.
That sounds fantastic. Is there a website that people
yes,
can go to?
Yes, there is. www.mstexasseniorAmerica.org.
All right. And if anybody wanted to get in touch with you directly, is there a way they can do that?
Yes, they can call me.
Okay.
Or they can email me.
Either okay. One, or both.
All right, let me give you my email address. It's mfh2006@sbcglobal.net. Or my telephone number is 972-334-0000.
Well, that's a good easy one. All right, ladies, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and talk about the pageant and something that you have so much passion for. And with that, we'll send it back to Sam and Lee in Atlanta.
Kevin, we certainly appreciate your guest, Mary Frances Hansen and Pat Hauser. We appreciate their being with us. And we want to wrap it up and remind everyone today that if they'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And once again, want to end, as we always do, in stating that if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, It goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.